Chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8. We'll also look at a text in Matthew chapter 9, if we can. Last Sunday, I asked people to take notes. You don't have to take notes. I don't care what you do, but I would recommend that you follow along, because today, as opposed to the Sunday school, I'm going to be calm and kind, but we're going to, how would I say, we're going to deal for the first time in any kind of extended way with a subject that is pretty controversial and, frankly, pretty much unknown. So I'm going to try to lay out some ideas that will help you, I hope. And I tend to be logical, which means if you miss the first point, it's pretty hard to pick up on the third point. And if your mind tends to be a ping pong ball or you think about yourself, you will struggle in my preaching because my preaching is connected. So we're going to connect some things. We're going to connect some dots. This morning's sermon is this, Jesus and the demons. So we're going to deal with the subject of demons because it's the next text. All right? Before we stand, Matthew has given us the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which is the longest section of Jesus' teaching while on earth. Understand, Jesus taught these same truths in cities, villages, Jerusalem. So don't be surprised when you go to Luke and it looks a little differently because Jesus taught this many different places. But after Matthew does this, after he presents the great teaching of the kingdom and what it means to be part of the kingdom and how you become part of the kingdom and those sorts of teaching, chapter 8 and 9 is a collection, hear me, of stories with one primary purpose. Not your entertainment, not my entertainment. It's a purpose of this. I want you to know who Jesus is and what he could do right here and right now, so then you can understand he can forgive you, save you, and take you to heaven one day. Because how do you know who this guy is? So what he does in chapter 8 and 9, friends, is not chronology. It's not day 1, day 2, day 3. It's a series of stories collected and put together to say, this Jesus, the one that did all this teaching, he can not only forgive sins in the future and take you to heaven when you die and save you from your sins, he can change things right here, right now. Got it? Matthew chapter 9. By the way, I said this every week now for 4 weeks. So Matthew chapter 9 and verse 5. Let's everybody stand. We'll read this again. Because in reality, this is the center of the two chapters. It says, when Jesus, he basically was going to heal a man, but instead he says, your sins be forgiven you. In verse 3, it says, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes, because they understood. If Jesus could forgive sins, he was God, of course. Then Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said in verse 4, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? Why do you have all this evil thinking going on? For whether is easier, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? Well, it's much easier to say your sins are forgiven you because you can't prove that one way or the other. But then he says in verse 6, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power or authority on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. So friends, look at me. Two chapters with one big purpose. Yes, Jesus can save you. Yes, Jesus can forgive your sins. Yes, he can take you to heaven when you die. Yes, all of those are true. How do we know those are true? Because of chapter 8 and 9. He said, I'm going to do this now and here so you know what I can do for there. Now, does this mean Jesus is going to heal every disease you have? Friend, if you have that dumb belief, that lie in your mind, How do you do when your family members are dying? Now, I will say this. Does Jesus normally heal you? Does he take care of us? Of course. This morning, we're going to focus, and there's some teaching here that's very helpful. So let's read real quickly the verses. There's only two. Verse 16 and 17 of chapter 8. Most of the preaching will come from verse 16. This is another small event or incident. Again, a collection of stories, not chronological. When the even was come, so he's giving us some of the background. You know, it's getting dark. They brought unto him many that were possessed, the King James says, with devils. The King James translates the word, we translate demon devils always. It's always plural. But in the Greek, diabolos is devil, if it's used of a person, or like Satan. It's diabolos. Daimonion is demon, or daimonia is demons. This is not the word for devil. King James always says devils, but it's talking about demons. I'm going to say demons. I'm not going to say devils, because the Greek says daimonia, which is what it is. So at eventime, we don't know who these people are, brought into him many that were possessed with demons. And he cast out, which is interesting, it's important to read, the spirits. With his word, or by his word, or with a word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, that's the Greek form, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I'm going to talk about this morning Jesus and the demons. I'm not going to try to yell. I'm not going to try to scream. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to try to communicate very simple ideas. So when we leave here this morning, I really want to accomplish a couple things. I want you to ask yourself a question. Have I been impacted by demons? Please look at me. I want you to ask yourself a question. Have I been impacted by demons? And if so, in what way? I'm going after that. I might not give you the answer you like. And I will say this before I pray. Far too much of mentioning of demons goes to television and stupid movies, which has nothing to do with Scripture. So I almost have to uneducate us, because most of what we think we know comes from movies. I don't know how we confuse the Bible with movies. Well, I do know. Why do we confuse the Bible with movies? Which do we watch the most? Jesus and the demons. Let's pray. Father, I ask your help, and we need help this morning as I consider a very important issue and in some ways a strange issue. Bless this time now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 8 and 9 is a collection of what? Collection of what? Stories. We have already read, and many months ago, I preached on the first story. Jesus had the ability to cleanse and heal a leper, which in that culture, and by the way, leprosy up until pretty modern times, was, folks, you didn't hang out with people with leprosy. Now, I think most forms of leprosy, there's cures for it. Before there was no cure, you would get leprosy. You didn't want it. So lepers, by the way, were kept aside. Jesus heals and cleanses a leper. Jesus then heals a centurion, a Roman soldier, a guy that ran about 100 people, his servant at a distance. So you just see, who is this Jesus? He can cleanse a leper? He can heal a despised Gentile at a distance? Last week, we talked about him healing a woman. In our culture, we look at things differently. When I was in the hospital, I had at least 3, maybe 4 Jewish nurses. One of them was ultra-Orthodox woman. Folks, there's all kinds of things they do and don't do with men. First time I saw her, I immediately knew what she was. And I talked to her, You say, how did you know? The dress. I didn't want to offend her in any way, being a man, by touching her. Do you understand there are cultures where men don't touch women? Jesus came in and healed Peter's mother-in-law by touching her. That's not what rabbis did. Today, he's going to move one step further. What can Jesus do about demons? Can he do anything? By the way, it's one thing to say, yep, I'm going to save you, forgive your sins, and take you to heaven in the great by and by. It's another thing to say, I got a problem. What can you do about this? So that's the fourth story, trying to tell us who Jesus is. The fourth story is simply asking this. Maybe we'll ask this question, who will Jesus accept and welcome? Someone that has been previously controlled by demons? Who can Jesus help? What can Jesus do for a person? What can that person expect? That's the first idea. So look at Matthew 8:16. I'm just going to skip over 15 minutes of introduction and go right to the main points. Matthew 8, verse 16 says, when the even, and even is Old English, but it just means when it started to get twilight, started to change to dark, was come, they, we don't know who these people were, they brought unto him many. And many means pretty much what it means. There was a bunch of them that were possessed with, I'll say, demons. By the way, there's no word for possession. It's just daimonizomai. They were demonized in some fashion. These demons, in some fashion, had some kind of influence in these people's lives. And then the text says, and he cast out the spirits. So he's telling us something about these demons. He's telling us something very significant about these demons. And he says he does so with his words. And then he healed all that were sick. So friends, here it is. Are you ready? Number one, there are demons. We must start with that. Now, you say, well, that's weird. Do you realize the vast majority of people in the world, in the modern world, in the Western world, don't believe in demons at all? Actually, the very first area people attack is demons. Some of them have seen Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and all the little cultic teachers on television. Did you get the privilege of seeing Kenneth Copeland cast out COVID? You see that kind of foolishness one time, you know, you're like, okay, I don't think they're deep. By the way, here's the problem. According to the scripture, there is such a category as demons. Now, here's the weird thing. The Bible talks about Satan. The Bible talks about the devil, the same, just two different names. And there's a few other names Satan's called. This isn't a morning to preach on Satan. But demon possession, daimonizomai, are you all listening? Is found 13 times in the Bible, and it's only found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's found one time in John where Jesus' opponents say he is possessed of a demon. It's not found in Acts, not found in the epistles, not found in the Old Testament, something weird. But I want to start with a simple premise. There are demons. Daimonizomai means to be demonized. Demon possessed is probably appropriate. Again, all of these are found 13 times total. Most of them are found in Matthew, four or five times in Mark, once in Luke, and once saying Jesus is demonized in John. The word daimonion, or daimonia, which is plural, is the word for demon. Occasionally and rarely it's used of false gods. Most of the time it's found. The vast majority of the 63 uses are found again in the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So there are demons. We run into a wall when we discuss demons. Or we introduce the subject of demons. Friend, I would tell you that the vast majority of people would look at you and say, I don't believe in demons. I would say secondly, others will make demons and the demonic central to their entire Christianity. Where demons are, by the way, did you ever have the displeasure of reading Frank Peretti in the day? Where there was a demon in every bush?
And every problem in a person's life was a demon. And if your car had a flat tire, it was the flat tire of demons, and on and on. By the way, we have two extremes. We got one extreme over here that says there really aren't demons. We got another extreme that says there's a demon. Oh, you have an earache. There's a demon in your ear. You have a toothache. There's a demon. Let's cast out that demon out of your tooth. Okay.
Then there's a lot of Christians that simply deny the presence or activities of demons. They don't really know what they mean. I would say most Christians, and please look at me, I would say most of us. Do you know who us is? Are you one of the us? Just ignore this concept. I'm not mad at you, by the way. I think most of us ignore the whole demonic issue. So my first basic premise is, because of the text, there are demons. There are demons. Demons in the scripture are evil with evil intentions. Demons are fallen angels that follow Satan or the devil. They're on his side, so to speak. And it's very important when you read verse 16, it actually says this, when the even was come and they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons, and he cast out, it doesn't say they cast out the demons, he cast out the spirits, which tells you something very important. Demons do not have a physical presence. They are not embodied like you and me. Look at me. Do you know what that means? I've had a couple people ask me, Pastor Warren, have you ever seen a demon?
You do realize if demons are spirits and don't normally take up, do we have a question here? Cliff, are you in trouble down here on the front row? I'm not going to make any comments about deacons this morning. By the way, it's a funny comment, but after a while it gets old. I mean, are the deacons in our church demons? Frankly, no. We do have an American, and we have a few other weird ones, but we don't have any demons. Friends, if demons are spirits, that probably tells you how often are you going to see them. Well, when I got the and if you got magic glasses, you're in the wrong place, okay?
My friend, I want to say very clearly my first piece of the puzzle. There are demons, and demons are not normally physically seen. Listen to me. Demons and Satan are normally seen by the damage done. Can I say that again? Demons are seen by the damage done. I'm going to have Cliffy do me a favor and turn the lights off behind me and go ahead up there, whoever's doing the photos. Yes, we'll need the lights off. Anybody in this room know what that is? It's a bobcat. That's the technical term. No, there's a couple others here. By the way, bobcats, do we have them in the state of Illinois? Oh, yes, we do. Lots of them. A bobcat, you know, we'll look at a few minutes towards the end and you'll be able to see how big they are. A bobcat can grow up to about 35 to 40 pounds. So they're not like a lion, they're not like a, you know, jaguar, but they're not a small animal. Go ahead. There's another one. And by the way, they're called bobcats because they have a short tail naturally that's bob, like that. Go ahead. Ah, there it gives you a picture. Is that a small cat? By the way, would you want to see that cat in the middle of the night when you walk out your door? You don't really, by the way, there was just a story a couple weeks ago where some guy took that thing and had to throw a bobcat that was attacking his wife, I think. This is a serious animal, folks. This is not a huge animal, but 40 pounds of a cat. Go ahead, next. Yeah, it can do some damage. Next. There gives you a very nice comparison. A mountain lion, a bobcat, and a domestic cat. A bobcat is somewhat over twice the size of a normal cat. Now, friends, I want to tell you a story. I grew up in the country. No, I didn't grow up in the country because I listened to country music. Oh, people tell me they're country. They wear cowboy boots. And I'm like, you're a country person because you grew up in the country, in the dirt.
That's how I grew up. I grew up on 280 acres in the middle of tens of thousands of woods, along the Mississippi and Illinois River, bluffs and trees and hills and ravines, and frankly, bobcats. I was out of my first 18 years, 15 of it was on the farm. The first three was in a very small community. You say, did you have bobcats on the farm? The answer is yes. But I never, ever saw a bobcat. Bobcats are, they're nocturnal, meaning they come out at night, but they actually come out at two times specifically. They come out when things start to get dark and when things just before they start to get light. They have the two ends. I heard bobcats. I have seen where bobcats scratch to mark territory. I have seen footprints of bobcats, and by the way, they're twice as big as a regular cat. So you're out in the woods and you start to see the cat prints and you're like, those are a little bit big. It's a bobcat where I'm from. You say, are a bobcat dangerous? Yes, they can kill you. Normally they don't, because normally you never see them and normally they'll run away from you. But friends, you say, Pastor, do you believe in demons? If you mean demons like this, Pastor, I have a demon in my car. Oh, shut up. Pastor, I have an earache. It's a demon of an earache. I had a friend in St. Louis. His son had a big, bad earache, and his mother-in-law was a charismatic, one of these hyper-type, and she started trying to deliver the demon out of his ear. Took the boy to the doctor, and all he had was wax in his ears, folks. So I guess a demon and wax are the same thing. Don't be foolish. But wait a minute, let's not pretend there isn't such a thing as demons. Hear me, I grew up on a farm that had bobcats, but I never, ever saw one. Hear me, but I saw the results of bobcats. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 10, would you?
John chapter 10, please. I'm assuming everybody in this room has memorized this text. I would assume this text is part and parcel of who you are. But the first part of the text is the negative side. And the first part of the text is talking about Satan, but secondarily about demons. By the way, demons are, you know, we don't know a lot about names and all that stuff, little pieces. But friend, it's not important. We just start with the biblical premise. There are demons. There is such a thing as demons. There are demons floating around. You say, I've never seen one. Hear me. Can you guys go back? Oops, we turned it off. Can you go back to one of the pictures of the bobcat, please? Maybe the very first one, Christy, if you can get there. Well, that's a good comparison there, too. That's good enough. By the way, friends, I've never seen one. I've heard them. I've seen their foot, their claw prints. You'll see them around. We had a couple lakes or ponds. You'll see them around there getting water. You could hear them. You could see the footprints. And you know what else you would normally see? The damage done. By the way, you rarely saw a fox either. Did you have fox where you... Do you have coyotes? Yes, we had those too. You would see, most of the time you saw what was the damage. What does the Bible say? John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to do what? Steal and to kill and to do what? Listen, I don't look around for demons under every bush. You come to me and say, Pastor Warren, I have a headache. Here's going to be my first recommendation. Take some aspirin. Take some Tylenol. You say, if it doesn't go away, what are you going to do? Say, go to the doctor. You think it's a demon. Does Stacy Francis' mother have a demon in her head? No, she has cancer. That's a disease. Here's our problem. We either make everything about demons or we go the other way and everything is just physical. No. There is such a thing as demons and you see them by the results. So let me tell you a story. A buddy of mine that I went to school with, he grew up in the same area I grew up in. He lived on a farm also. One day as a young boy, somewhere 5, 6, 7, was out doing what young boys do. Now, by the way, you say, what do young boys do? Well, you play video games, right? Oh, I know. I listened to my cell phone. No, when I was a kid, I was on a farm. I went and played on the farm. I would be gone all day.
My daughter-in-law scares her to death to think that her sons could go out and play for 6-7 hours, 8 hours in the woods and just come home. I said, I do that every day. That's what you did. Mom was okay with that. He was doing that one day. Where I'm from is a lot of bluffs. Now, they're not mountains. They're anywhere between 300 to 900 feet high. And they vary, you know, in shapes. And sometimes the slopes are like this, and sometimes the slopes are like this. If you lived on our farm and you walked 100 feet, you went down a slope that you could not walk straight up. You had to zigzag up. Well, he was playing, doing nothing wrong. He walked down a dry creek bed. And as he walked down the dry creek bed, and he further and further got into the dry creek bed, a lot of these creek beds end at the side of a bluff that the water, when it rains, comes through the bluff eventually and then comes out. So it's not always dry, but if it hasn't rained in a while, it's dry. He was playing. He walks down this dry creek bed, and it's a ravine. I mean, steep. And, you know, there's no place to go, but he's just playing. He walks down, he says, you know, you're a kid. You're playing. You walk to the end, and he's from here to there or less, maybe even this close to the end. And he looks up, and there's a bobcat. He has done the one thing you don't want to do, which is corner a wild animal. He didn't do it intentionally. He's just playing. The bobcat, according to his testimony, he says the bobcat looked at him, snarled, took one swipe, and went up over the hill. I didn't know this young man in grade school because we were in different parts of the county. But in high school, I've never seen a bobcat, but I have seen what a bobcat can do in one swipe. So if you say, are there such a thing as demons? My answer is absolutely yes. But not in silly goose, charismatic stupidity of getting the demon, you know, your hair's falling out, Mike. I think you have a demon of hair. That's what I think. By the way, it gets stupid. After a while, when I saw the filth of Copeland casting out COVID, folks, COVID is a disease. It doesn't need to be cast out. Do you believe in demons? Look at me. I've seen the results in people's lives, including people in this church this morning. Well, we'll look at the second concept. Would you with me, please? Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 again, please. And this is, I've got to teach this. There's no other way around it. I have said, number one, there are demons. We believe this because the Bible says there are demons. Plus, I think experientially or existentially, we experience the results of demonic activities. Number two, demons that have power or influence over some people. Demons that have power or influence over some people. And every word is important. They have some sort of power or some sort of influence over some people. And this gets to be very difficult. Verse 16 says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many. So in this case, there were many. But the weird part is you only find this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where there's this many people that are somehow influenced directly, it seems like, by demons. They were possessed with by demons. And then it says, and he cast out the spirits with his word. So number one, there are demons. Number two, there are demons that have power or influence over some people. Now, folks, I'm sorry, I have to teach this. I think in rare cases, you might rarely see physical possession of what you might think, where demons physically possess someone. But friend, have you read the Bible? That's not even talked about in the epistles. That was, I think, even rare in Jesus' day, and I'm going to get to it in a few weeks. I'll give you a hint. I think there's a real clear thing. When the demons see Jesus, they are afraid. What are they afraid of? Does anybody know? They're afraid that he's going to torture them before the time. So when they see Jesus, they don't think party. They think, oh my goodness. Because they know their final condemnation is hell.
And when they meet him personally, it's like, please don't torture us before the time. Jesus changed the scenario. I do believe in rare occasions there might be such a thing as physical possession. I would say this, I do not believe a Christian can be physically possessed, but I do believe there is such a thing. 2 Corinthians 11, would you turn with me please? 2 Corinthians 11. We need to look and say then how exactly does or how do demons influence us? How do they affect us? How do they somehow have authority over people? What does that mean? And let me just say this, it's much more interesting to watch an old Catholic movie on television where a priest is doing hocus pocus and the demon comes. That's interesting. Everybody loves that. Charismatics love it. Catholics love it. The only one problem is it has nothing to do with reality in most people's life. I'm not denying an element of that being true. I'll say this to everybody. If you're involved in the drug business, drugs, and if you're involved in any kind of Satan kind of worship, and you're opening yourself up, then I think that might be a possibility. So, in some of our false religions where people open themselves up to horrible things, maybe there's physical possession. That is possible. I think in most cases, it's much more sophisticated, which is where it comes home to us. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, please. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into what? Friends, Satan is not as interested in taking a person and doing all these weird motions and gestures. That's good for movies. And there's a movie every night about that kind of stupidity. Satan is much more interested in transforming himself into something beautiful and wonderful and tricking you and deceiving you and seducing you. Yes, there are demons, and yes, they have power and authority over some people, and maybe to some degree at times over all of us. But it's not Satan inhabits you or the demons. It's they influence you. They influence how you think. They influence what you think. They influence your crazy ideas. And I'll get to those in a moment. Let's look at a couple of other texts. 1 Timothy 4, please. 1 Timothy 4. Unfortunately, the King James has a very ambiguous phrase. If you're reading in ESV, it corrects the ambiguity of this phrase. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, and it's a powerful passage. Paul says this, "Now the Spirit," meaning the Holy Spirit, "speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. How so? Giving heed to seducing spirits." I believe these false spirits, these demons, are primarily interested in seducing you, tricking you, fooling you, than they are inhabiting you and doing weird stuff that you see in movies. But he goes on to say, and here's where the ambiguity in the King James is, not only seducing spirits, but doctrines of devils. It's not immediately apparent what that means, but it means teaching, not about demons, but the demonic teaching itself, which means this, friend, please look at me. Do you realize the primary way demons influence us? Please look at me. You wouldn't even know you've been influenced. You have been influenced, and you don't even know it because it comes through teaching. Look at me. Comes through ideas. Comes through philosophies. Comes through, and I'm going to go through a whole list. I thought about writing this list 10 times longer and stopping because, frankly, the real demonic activity in our church is there's no possession here, friends. We're believers. Does that mean people haven't bought into the teaching of demons, the kinds of things demons teach to get us off track,
to get us off the path, that get us to do stupid things? Well, I think, unfortunately, we're pretty influential.
Now, please look at me. I'm not going to read it for time. When you read the temptation of Jesus, there's no temptation like this by Satan.
All the temptation is to the mind, to the emotions and the heart. Jesus is hungry. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? I'm going to show you all the kingdoms of the world. If you just bow down and worship me, I'll give them all to you. By the way, folks, those are the kinds of things that Satan and the demons do. It's not zap, and I need a priest with a cross doing magic words. That's nonsense. It's the teaching. It's the ideas. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, something beautiful.
Satan and the devil and the demonic horde attack us, certainly. But they attack us primarily through lies, through seduction. They appeal to and through, look at me, our passions, our lust, our habits. Did you hear that? They appeal to our lust, our habits. Have you ever met a Christian so bound up by their habits that they just can't get out of it? That's demonic. You have bought into something.
But not zap. That's too much movie stuff. Sadly, friend, we don't recognize Satan because we're looking for goofball stuff. Satan and the demons use seduction, lies. They appeal to your mind. They appeal to your emotions. They appeal to your lust. By the way, that young man that killed those eight people in Georgia, was it? Guy consumed with lust. You say, was that demonic? The answer is 100%. But it wasn't demonic like zap. It was demonic in the guy's head. He was so consumed with pornography and his physical lust that he couldn't escape. So you kill people in order to escape your lust. Makes sense to me. How do you know there are demons? By the damage done.
So Satan and the devil and the demonic horde attack us, certainly. They do throw primarily through lies and seduction, appealing to our passions and our habits and all the internal things that are going on. They try to trap us and trip us up in our own thinking processes. So I'm going to state it. Hang on. The individual who thinks drinking is okay, and I can control my drinking. How has that been working out for you such to this point? Or it's the person that's into pornography. Because everybody knows pornography is not a big deal. I'm not doing anything to anybody else. Well, frankly, you are. And number two, worse than that, pornography is one of the many things you cannot control. Is it demonic? If you mean demonic by zap and some demons inside, oh, get rid of that filth.
Because all that is blaming someone else for your behavior. But if you mean you're listening to things and giving in to exactly what Satan and the demonic host wants, yes. Hey, I was at a prison in the state of Illinois. From a deacon from this church who told me, no, not a deacon since I've been here, but he told me to my face, he said, since I was a child, and his dad was a Baptist deacon in Michigan who had a stack of Playboys to the roof. So as a young boy, that boy was fixated on that which his mind should not have been. So you say, it's not a big deal, Pastor Warren. Do you know there are people that come to this church that I know have problems with porn? Because they can't look me in the eyes. They don't know. It's flowing out of them. By the way, he told me, he's in prison for this, by the way, he told me directly, and I've stated this before, I mentally undressed every woman I saw. And my first thought was, you can't do anything else. No wonder why he could never look people in the eye. You look at me, friend. I do believe in the demonic,
But I don't think it has much to do with TV and movies and Catholicism and crosses or charismatic saying, in the name of Jesus. I think it's a little more subtle than that. I think you bought into some lies from hell, some damned lies that will be condemned. You're listening to them, and they control you. The guy that tells me it's okay for a Christian to drink that can't stop drinking. How about this? The woman whose mind and heart can never be still. But hey, Pastor Warren, that's just the way I am. You have listened to a lie. The individual who is never happy where they are. Have you met one? No matter where they are, they're unhappy. They're always looking across the way. The individual who's never happy where they are, but is going to be happy when they get to the next place. You have bought into seduction and lies of Satan. Oh, it's not movie stuff. It's the real world. How about this? The individual that's trapped inside themselves and their little world of behaviors and thinks no one notices. They have listened to some lies. Or the individual who can never appreciate anyone else, but has to put other people down in order to make themselves feel good. Or the individual who must always be right and must be more right than everybody else. Somehow some ideas have slipped into your head. Or the individual that cannot stop thinking about themselves. They only and always think about what they are doing. Other people never enter into their mind and heart. Or the person who cannot give tithes, offerings, or anything because this money, I earned it. It's my money, and I'm going to spend everything I have on myself. Or the person that must impress themselves and impress people. And that no one knows the real truth about them. My brother-in-law, brother and a half, he's not here this morning, I don't think. I went out to eat with him this week. He said something to me. He works over at Classic Toyota. We were talking about cars. I don't know anything about cars. Mike knows about cars. Cars are just, they just get me from point A to point B. We were talking about cars. Most of Toyotas now, they have a hybrid model also, pretty much on all of them, with exception of one or two. In the conversation, he said the most interesting thing I've ever heard. He said, rich people don't buy Sequoias, which is the most expensive vehicle Toyota sells. He said people that are average buy Sequoias to impress people that they have money. Now, friend, I want to say this to you. I don't have anybody in mind in any of these points other than this. I want to know this. What lies have you bought into? By the way, Jesus says Satan is a liar. And he's the, look at me, and the father of lies. And I hear so many lies from people, and you know who you are. And I know who you are. I used to think if you're saved, you start growing. Then I start to realize I have people that are the same for 25 years and nothing's changed. And I'm like, either they're not saved or you have surrendered to some kind of satanic teaching, that it's okay to be like you are. That's just the way I am. Yeah, I know I worry all the time, but worries of God. Friend, I have never seen a demon. I don't deny they exist, and I don't even deny that there might be such a thing as demon possession. I think of drugs, which open you up to stupidity, and playing around with certain false kinds of religion might open you up to the demonic. That's possible. I think I have known police officers that have encountered this kind of thing in the past. But I don't think that's the norm. By the way, the norm is, what's the lie you're believing right now? I used to believe this. You all realize I don't preach on money. This is not about money this morning. I used to believe that anybody that got saved would eventually start giving because it's taught in the Bible. But even more importantly than it's taught in the Bible, you know the number one great truth about God in the Bible? For God so loved the world that he... God is a great giver.
You say, what does he give us? He gives us salvation. He gives us the Lord Jesus. He gives us everything. And you know, you mean you know him. You're telling me I know him and I give nothing? Then I realize, but we buy in to demonic teaching. And those teachings, look at me, can hold a person captive for a lifetime. Because it's not zap and it's not weird. It's just, you ever listen to people? They tell the same lie over and over and over.
That's when we got a problem. You say, Pastor, I don't like this stuff. I was thinking when I came to the pulpit this morning, I was thinking about Jesus. And Matthew's trying to tell us stories about who Jesus is and what he can do. Look at me, please. I was thinking about somebody that I knew wasn't going to be here this morning. And I'm going to say something about him whether you like it or not. He's not all good. He has some bad. I won't mention the bad. I'll point to the bad later. I was thinking of Jim Duncan. If I had to do his funeral one day, what would I say about Jim Duncan? Some people are impressed he's a captain in the Navy. That's impressive, but I've known other captains in the Navy. You know what impresses me about Jim Duncan? I know. Look at me. I see the results. I see the results in his family and people that aren't his family, that he calls family. Jim Duncan, every place he goes, is trying to push people forward. Always. That's a result of hanging out with God for a few years. Other people are always talking about themselves. How about this? I didn't know this. Jim had done this for years. I didn't know about it. Jim didn't, he didn't say, Pastor Warren, I just want you to know what I do. I found out it through my son. I didn't know that the kids in our church that are doing right, when it comes to going on their honeymoon, it's on Jim Duncan. Till my son went down to some place in Mexico with his new wife, and it was on Jim Duncan's dime. Who does that? Don't you just spend all of your life thinking about you and your stuff and what you have and talking about yourself? Now, Jim's not perfect. We won't go any farther than that. I can think of bad things about Jim Duncan. I'm not bragging. Look at me, friend. I want to ask you a question. How has demonic teaching affected you? What lies do you tell you? And by the way, you know what they are because you keep telling yourself those lies. Because you have to justify what you're doing. I have preached in this church probably 25 to 50 times on some kind of sermon that deals with be still and know that I am God. And I still have a person or two that walk up to me and say, but Pastor, that's just the way I am. You have believed a lie. And that's how Satan works. Now, that was all tough. Let's get to the good part. Can I do that? Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. This is going to be quick, but it's sweet, very sweet. And friend, if you don't see this, you're missing the whole point. Matthew 8, verse 16. I have said there are demons. I have said demons that have influence, power, or authority over us in some way. In some way. When the evening was come, they brought unto him, unto Jesus, many that were possessed or demonized. And he cast out the spirits. I mean, threw them out. But the most important thing is the next line. How so?
It was as simple as this, friend. Jesus just said, get out of here. I'm going to give you my third point, which is the hope of the passage.
Demons, look at me, that have all this power over people have no authority, no power, and no influence over Christ.
You know what you find in the Bible? You don't find Jesus saying, wait a minute, let me get my magic cross, let me say the magic words, let me do the hocus pocus, and the demon will flee. Jesus just simply said, out of here. You're gone. Because, friends, one thing I know. Nay, in all these things, we, believers, are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus never had a big struggle with demons. There was none of this foolishness that I have heard, where Satan is fighting and Jesus is fighting and you need to get on Jesus' side so Jesus wins. May I say this to you kindly? We believe God is triune. Now, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, took upon human flesh. I got that part. But friends, remember, He created everything. And He's not nervous because even though it seems like Satan and a third of the angels rebelled, who created them? He's not nervous. My friends, the beauty of this text, dismissed, you're out of here, cast them out, they're gone, and all of these people don't have their... So you know what this means for you? If you're a believer, look at me, He is able to save you to the uttermost. Quit the lies. Quit the lies. Quit telling yourself the same story over and over. Jesus is able just to... We'll never have a demon cast out in this church. You say, why? Because the Son of God doesn't have a problem with demons. We do. He doesn't. Number four is obvious, and it's very important for you to see in this text. Verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with demons, demon-possessed in some way. And He cast out the spirits with or by His word. And, do you see the little word and? Meaning a separate activity, yes or no? He did what? Which number four tells you this, demons that are not equivalent to sickness or illness. Friends, sometimes, a few times in the Bible, demons in some way come together with affliction, physical illness. But hear me, in this text, they're separate because in our mind, these are not the same. So when a person is sick, that doesn't mean they have a demon. Look at me. That probably means they have a disease. It is possible, there are a few cases where demonic influence, but friends, it won't be of a believer. Don't go to a believer like Sonia, where are you at, sister? Your precious niece, right? Niece? She's dying of cancer sooner or later. There's no demon involved in this. This is just disease. Look at me, friend. I'm going to say this quickly. Every person in this room lives after the fall. And guess what? After the fall, every person dies. And disease and death is part of our culture, of course. Now, sometimes the demonic has something to do with illness, but it's rare. Most of the time, illness is, are you ready? Illness. It's a bacteria, it's a virus, it's a parasite, or it's something that's dysfunctioned in your body for some reason. By the way, can Jesus heal those? Will He heal those? Hear me. In the future, every single one. Because when you see the Lord, you stand there in a new body. Let me go through the logic of this. There are demons. Demons that have real influence, power, and authority over some people. And maybe all of us in some times. Thirdly, demons.
How did I say it? Yeah, Jesus isn't sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? Demons that have no power over Christ. Demons that are separate from illness. And lastly, look at verse 17, and we'll do this quickly. We'll talk about this Sunday night, or Wednesday night probably. All of this, it says, was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the Old Testament. And by the way, this is Isaiah 53. This is that great passage about the Messiah. And it says in Isaiah 53, and Jesus and Matthew is not recording exactly, but it's the gist, that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So there are demons that have real power and authority over some people, demons that have no power over Christ, none, demons that are not equivalent to illness and sickness. So let's stop. We have one of my favorite people in the church. We prayed for her and gave thanks Wednesday night, this lovely lady right here. She has some physical problems. Is it a demon? No, it's a disease. I'm going to ask you a question. Can the Lord deliver her from that? Yes. Will he? I just know what Manka Ah said Wednesday night, which blessed my heart, that you haven't had any problems during the COVID period. Unbelievable good news. By the way, does she have a demon? Well, she does have a brother. No. That's not true.
Oh, yeah. Young's going to get me now.
Friends, the answer is no. She has a disease. And she's a fighter, if I've ever met a fighter. But I got good news for you. Are you guys ready for this? Both the demons and the illnesses shall be eliminated by Christ in due time. Now, hear me. Can Jesus heal right now? The answer is, of course, yes. But friends, we already know he doesn't heal everybody because all of us have to die. Does that mean I look at Ziba and think less of her? No, I actually think more of her because this means she can handle things I can't handle. But I do know this. One day, Ziba's going to be running around crazy in heaven, doing great. See, how do you know that? Because the Lord, there's going to come a time when the demons are in hell where they belong, and all illness and sickness is gone. And by the way, I look forward to that day. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your goodness. We rejoice. Yes, we would like every problem we have to go away. But we know that's not your will. We know that's not your purpose. Paul had some kind of thorn in the flesh. We all have issues. But we have your grace. We have the grace that saves us, the grace of God that keeps us. And we know that ultimately, when we see you and when you establish your kingdom and in the ultimate future, all disease, all death will be done away. There will be no more curse. There will be no more death. Satan and the demons will be in hell where they deserve to be. And we will enjoy you forever in glorified bodies, made new and beautiful, and we're looking forward to that day. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.